05 and 2005 UTC right after the interview.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. French phenom Victor Wembanyama is widely projected to be the number one pick in Thursday night's National Basketball Association draft. The NBA's annual draft will be held at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, the home of the NBA's Brooklyn Nets team. Here's a safe bet, Sunny Side of Sports listeners. The Nets have the number 21 pick in the draft, so they're not going to get Wembanyama. The San Antonio Spurs have the number one pick, and they're expected to choose the 19-year-old Wembanyama, who has been described as the best prospect since LeBron James in the 2003 NBA draft. Victor Wembanyama is listed at 2 meters 21 tall with excellent skills and mobility. And here are some fun family facts about Victor Wembanyama. He comes from a sports-playing family. His father was a track and field athlete, while his mother is a basketball coach and former player. Victor's grandfather played professional basketball, and his grandmother also played the sport. Victor is expected to join a San Antonio Spurs team that has had some excellent international players over the years, including Wembanyama's fellow Frenchman Tony Parker and Hall of Famer Manu Ginobili from Argentina. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and VOAAfrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to VOAAfrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out VOAAfrica.com. One of our big recent basketball stories was the Denver Nuggets winning their first NBA title. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's look back on Denver's triumph. The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Miami Heat 94-89 to win their first National Basketball Association championship. The Nuggets won the best of seven NBA Finals, 4-1. Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic tallied a team-high 28 points in Game 5, grabbed 16 rebounds, and was named the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player.
It's good. I mean, it's good. We did a job. I think we played the best basketball in the postseason, but I think we were there. Playing the best basketball. You know, today we didn't make shots, but still we defend. And it's a good feeling when you know that you did something that nobody believes, and just it was just us. It's just the organization of Denver Nuggets believe in us. Every player believe in each other, and I think that's the most important thing.
Nikola Jokic lifted the NBA trophy and the NBA Finals MVP trophy one day after Novak Djokovic won his record 23rd major singles title at the French Open tennis tournament. Jokic was asked if this is the greatest moment for Serbian athletes.
Gotta be. You know, sport is something that is always in Serbia, was something that put us in front of everybody, even like 10, 20 years ago, whatever. But now when we have a Djokovic who won probably the best ever, for us, he's the best ever, of course. And now we have a NBA championship, and I think it's a really good moment to be a Serbian.
Meanwhile, another Denver star, Jamal Murray, scored 14 points in Game 5 and got quite emotional during the trophy presentation ceremony.
It was really hard to put into words, still is. I couldn't even hold it in. You know, I don't know. I couldn't really hold it in. It was just a surreal moment, and everything was hitting, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything was hitting at once, from the journey to the celebration with the guys to enjoying the moment to looking back on the rehab to looking back as myself as a kid, as the other viewer, you know what I'm saying? Looking from the crowd in or from the camera lens in, and now to be able to look back at them, you know what I'm saying? So it was a lot. I couldn't hold it in. It was just something I've been working for my whole life. I think Mike said it, Porter, you know, this is everybody. Every real hooper, you know, wants to be on the stage and playing the game and be in this moment. So to see it full circle, you know, going from my rehab, not being able to walk, go up the stairs, like not just for a month or two, you know what I'm saying? It was for a long time. And a lot of different things going through my head, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and real ones. Like I said, just to see it full circle and have total belief in myself, have the team have total belief in me, people back home have total belief in me. That's all I could ever ask for, and just to see like this is amazing.
Denver's head coach is Michael Malone. At the post-game news conference, he was asked about the journey he's been on with Nikola Jokic to win the NBA title.
It's been amazing, you know, because you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the basketball perspective, two MVPs, finals MVP, world championship, and everything he's done on the court. And then more important for me, you can look at off the court, the relationship, you know, the love that I have for Nikola, his mother and father back in Sombor, Serbia, his brothers Nemanja and Strahina, his wife Natalia and their daughter Ognjena. You know, they're a wonderful family that I've gotten very close to. And I've said this many times before, but Nikola, even tonight, like he's kind of acting like this was like another game. He's never changed with all the success, and he never will. It's just not in his nature. So, you know, I love Nikola 8 years, love Jamal 7 years, been through a lot. And just for all of us to stay the course, challenge ourselves to get better collectively, individually. So, yeah, it's great to be a part of such a historically great player who's an even better person, and I mean that sincerely. This is not coach talk. Nikola is just a great, great man.
Michael Malone's coaching counterpart for the Miami Heat is Eric Spoelstra.
Now, obviously, we didn't get the final win, but sometimes, you know, that's true in sport and also in life, that you don't always get what you want. But there's no regrets from our side. Everybody, staff, player alike in the locker room put themselves out there and put themselves into the team, whatever was best for the team. And the tough pill to swallow is it just wasn't good enough. We ran it up against a team that was just better than us in this series. You have to tip your hat to them. That I said it, but they're one hell of a basketball team. They play the right way. They compete. They're well coached, and they have a strong culture. So for this season, they deserve this.
That's Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat basketball team. Now, Spoelstra has certainly been deserving of the NBA trophy in past years. He was an assistant coach when Miami won the NBA title in 2006, and he was Miami's head coach for back-to-back NBA championships in 2012 and 2013. As I mentioned, this was the first NBA championship for the Denver Nuggets. A little history about the team. Denver was founded in 1967 when it became a member of the now defunct American Basketball Association. I used to love the red, white, and blue basketball the league played with, that is the ABA. The Nuggets joined the NBA in 1976, so it's been a long, long wait, 47 years for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA, almost a half century to win their first NBA title. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to American Scottie Scheffler, the world's number one ranked golfer. Scotty is celebrating his 27th birthday on this Wednesday. He was born in Ridgewood, New Jersey, located about 30 kilometers northwest of New York City. Scotty has one major golf title on his resume, the 2022 Masters, and Scotty also won the Players' Championship earlier this year. Happy birthday, Scotty Scheffler, the world's number one ranked golfer. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African Men's Football Tuesday, Burundi and Mauritania posted victories, while Ethiopia and Malawi played to a scoreless draw in qualifying matches for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. In a Group C qualifier played in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, Burundi beat Namibia 3-2. All three of Burundi's goals came in the first 20 minutes of the match. Now, the Namibians still lead this very tight group with 5 points from four qualifiers. Cameroon and Burundi have 4 points each from three qualifiers. And so, this Nations Cup qualifying group will come down to the final match in September, with Cameroon at home against Burundi. In Africa Cup of Nations qualifying Group I, Mauritania moved to the top of the group with a 3-0 victory over Sudan. This match was played in Agadir, Morocco. And this is another tight group. Mauritania is at the top with 8 points from five qualifiers. The Democratic Republic of Congo and Gabon have 7 points each, and Sudan has 6 points. In the final round of qualifiers in September, Mauritania will meet Gabon, and the DRC will play Sudan. Turning to Group D, Ethiopia and Malawi played to a scoreless draw. These teams were playing only for pride. The Pharaohs of Egypt, winners of a record 7 Nations Cup titles, and Sili Nacional of Guinea already had qualified from this group. In Group H, 2012 champion Zambia qualified for the Nations Cup June 17th with a 3-0 victory over visiting Ivory Coast, which will host the tournament. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Football Association of Zambia spokesman Sidney Mungala.
Zambia's qualification to the Africa Cup of Nations after beating Ivory Coast 3-0 at Alive Manasa Stadium has been a very huge step for the Chipolopolo after having not been to the Africa Cup since 2015. The AFCON qualification for the Chipolopolo has come at a time when most of the Zambian players are doing very well in the leagues that they play. Among the notable players that have been doing very well are Patson Daka, who plays for Leicester, Fashion Sakala, who plays for Rangers in Scotland, Emmanuel Banda, who plays in Croatia, Kings Kangwa, who plays for Red Star Belgrade, Lamek Banda, who plays for Lecce in Italy. Most of these young players have had good seasons with their clubs, and they seem to have now translated this form into national colors. So it was a very good spectacle to see the team play very well before a capacity crowd at Levi Manasa Stadium. And the fans were particularly happy with the manner that the team played. Zambia has a crop of players that are youthful, that we believe that when they go to the tournament, they're not just going there to participate. These are players that have been at it for a long time. They last won the Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations in 2017 on home soil. And obviously, they are going with the belief that now is their time to shine on the African continent. And everything possible is going to be done to ensure that our preparations are top-notch.
When will the Chipolopolos of Zambia commence preparations for the AFCON finals? And what are expectations from the present team?
We believe that the preparations will start early, and also we have one eye on World Cup qualifiers that are going to take place in November. And obviously the feeling in Zambia is great, and there's a feeling that this team is going to achieve something special for Mother Zambia, and this qualification seems to have launched the belief in the team by the fans, and we hope that Zambia can once again be at the top of the continent.
Some big names in African football have qualified for the AFCON finals. Do you think the Chipolopolos will equal to the task against these big names?
Obviously, when you look at the teams that are participating, it's going to be a tournament of heavyweights. But of course, Zambia has already been there. We've played most of these teams and we've done very well before. Look at our participation at the 22 of AFCON that we won. We overcame teams like Senegal, Ghana, and eventually Ivory Coast. So these are not new opponents, and we believe that Zambia is going to actually give a decent account of themselves in Ivory Coast.
That's Sidney Mungala, a spokesman for the Football Association of Zambia. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lusaka, Zambia.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairu, chief football writer at acsports.com, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
In more African men's football news, Ghana's all-time leading scorer, Asamoah John, has officially announced his retirement. In a statement on Twitter, the 37-year-old John wrote, and I quote, It's time to hang the jersey and boots in glory as I retire officially from active football. John scored 51 goals in 109 appearances for the Black Stars of Ghana. He started his club career in 2003, playing for Ghana's Liberty Professionals, and he later played in Europe for the Italian Serie A club Udinese, French Ligue 1 Rennes, and the English Premier League side Sunderland. Asamoah John also represented Ghana at three FIFA World Cups in 2006, 2010, and 2014. He retires as Africa's top World Cup goal scorer with six goals total. John also played for Ghana in seven Africa Cup of Nations tournaments. And while 37-year-old Asamoah John is hanging up his boots, 38-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo continues to make football history. Ronaldo became the first men's player to make 200 international appearances on Tuesday. And he celebrated the milestone by scoring the winning goal in the 89th minute as visiting Portugal beat Iceland 1-0 in Reykjavik in European Championship qualifying. Ronaldo was honored by Guinness World Records for reaching 200 matches for Portugal almost 20 years after he made his debut. And he was celebrating at the end, too, after being on hand to score the winner from close range and keep Portugal on track with its fourth win from four European qualifiers. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
Hello, listeners. My name is Edmond Tumusime. I am an ex-rugby international, Uganda. I am an African champion. Won the Africa Cup in 2007 and also was the MVP Ugandan rugby in 2006. I currently coach a club called Eagles Rugby Club, but I've also coached different levels in Ugandan rugby. I'm passionate about coaching young children from ages 5 and above and actually run an academy at Chitante Primary Schools in Uganda. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
As Eddie gets his kicks teaching children the sport of rugby in Uganda, marathon world record holder Eliud Kipchoge is reaching out to a couple of safari rally drivers in Kenya. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In 2022, Kenyan elite long-distance runner Eliud Kipchoge made history at the Berlin Marathon, where he smashed his own world record with a time of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 9 seconds. And the two-time Olympic gold medalist is set to lace up his running shoes once again in Berlin. Berlin. This week, Kipchoge took a break from training to focus on the work of his nonprofit foundation and planted trees at a school near his training base in his native settlement, Kaptagat, in the Kenyan Highlands. He was joined by M-Sport drivers Oit Tanak and Pierre-Louis Loubet for a tree planting ceremony that Kipchoge described as commemorating their shared commitment to protect the country's environment.
They have come and helped me to make our country clean by planting trees. And, you know, it's one of the things that actually will commemorate them. We will remember the drivers, the peace drivers, actually has planted the trees in our camp. So it's taking care of the environment, commemorating of the best sportsmen in this world. And, you know, when you know they say when you come together, actually, it's a beautiful world when people actually come together.
Drivers Oit Tanak and Pierre-Louis Loubet joined forces with Kipchoge ahead of the World Rally Championship that returns to Kenya on Thursday. Considered two of the best drivers in the world, Tanak and Loubet are set to compete in the WRC Safari Rally Kenya, an event renowned as one of the toughest challenges in the competition. The difficult terrain is at once rough and rocky and soft and sandy, both equally hard to navigate. And with rain forecast in Kenya, dry land could instantly become muddy. Oit Tanak has described the course like, quote, driving on the moon. Tanak hopes to complete the global competition on top for a second time, having won his first World Rally Championship title in 2019. During this week's tree planting ceremony, the 35-year-old Estonian presented Eliud Kipchoge with one of his official racing helmets. In exchange, Tanak was gifted with a signed pair of running shoes and a lesson from the 38-year-old athlete that success comes through teamwork.
We are all the same people. We are all doing professional sport. Is it technical sport or motorsport, or is it a marathoner like he is? You know, both of us, we are pushing to the limits and we are trying to get the maximum out. But as we can see, the maximum comes only when you have the package around you and the people around you.
So far, 2023 has not seen French driver Pierre-Louis Loubet in his best form. Small errors on the racetrack have placed the 26-year-old in 13th position at the halfway point of the World Rally Championships. But through witnessing firsthand Eliud Kipchoge's discipline as an elite athlete and his work with children, Loubet says he's learned the importance of keeping strong and staying humble.
So he gave a lot of chance to all the kids, and what he explained also, if you want to run within and if you want to be professional, you need to continue your school, because they know here it's really, really important if you want a social elevation, because we see that it's quite difficult for the young boy. We see the school. So his philosophy is amazing. So, yeah, I think it's a big learning of humility.
This year marks the 51st season of the World Rally Championship, a competition that began in January and takes place over 13 rounds across Europe, Asia, North and South America, and Africa. A driver will be crowned champion at the event's conclusion in November. Meanwhile, Eliud Kipchoge is hoping to improve on his last race in April, when he ran the slowest time of his career at the Boston Marathon and finished in sixth place. Kipchoge hopes to make history again when he returns to the Berlin Marathon in September. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the June 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
VOA Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.